It's the First Take, Your Take podcast. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start with my take. This is a new thing we're going to do every day, give you a little bit of my take. Obviously, you want to check out First Take, Your Take. We'll give you some of that in the podcast, but we start today with pressure. See, I think pressure sometimes needs to be synonymous with benefit of the doubt. That's the part of it we don't think about. You have to think about benefit of the doubt, where it lies, when you ask yourself, who has pressure? When you think about what we're looking at in the NBA right now, and the question we ask so many of you guys, who has more pressure right now, Kawhi or LeBron? Well, the answer is simple, and the answer is LeBron. Why? Because of benefit of the doubt. See, Kawhi's coming off of a time. Think about this. He won a championship for Toronto. He won a championship for the Raptors. He became beloved for a franchise, a city, and a country, and he walked away. He not only walked away, he teased everybody. He came back for the visit. Like, he went back and met the ex-girlfriend's family and was like, ah, I'm still thinking about it. And then what did he do? He went to L.A. So he goes in, he wins a championship for a franchise that had never had one, for a city that loves sports, for a country that is obsessed with the team, for an entire country. He teases him a little bit. He walks away. People still like him. Why? Partially because he didn't go play with LeBron and the Lakers. Partially because he picked the Clippers. Because it felt like he trolled the city of L.A. and he trolled LeBron along the way. Now then, look at the other side of this. Ever since the decision, ever since LeBron decided where he was going to take his talents, what happened? Right? In that moment, people decided he was a bad guy. I always love to use the 80s wrestling analogy, right? Like, he used to be a baby face. He was a face. He was a good guy. Then he takes his talents away. Oh, all of a sudden he's a heel. And I would argue this year, being in L.A., the way he's handled the Kobe situation for the Lakers as an organization, for the locker room, for the city, should have made him a face again. It should make him a good guy again. But the page never turned. At least not the way it should. It's turned a little bit to the sense that we can give him some credit in the MVP race. But realistically, he doesn't get benefit of the doubt because most of you don't want to give it to him. Because he's LeBron. Because somewhere along the way, you decided LeBron's the bad guy. So now you have LeBron the bad guy playing with Anthony Davis, the player that told New Orleans, I will not play with you. Send me somewhere else. What do you have there? You have villains. All of that makes the quiet Kawhi, load management Kawhi, the quiet superstar over here, somehow makes him the good guy. You have LeBron playing with Anthony Davis, playing for the Lakers. Remember the conversation that we had when LeBron started his career in L.A.? It wasn't, can he win a championship? It was, how many championships does he have to win to be accepted by Lakers fans in the community? Think about that. If he wins a championship for the Lakers, not only will LeBron not even get benefit of the doubt, the conversation will immediately be, how many does he have to win? What's next? History will look at it and say, okay, he won a championship, but look at all these dynasties. The Lakers aren't just about championships. They're about dynasties. If you're just a championship for the Lakers, you're not good enough. All of those factors lead to benefit of the doubt, and it doesn't exist with LeBron. It doesn't exist with the Lakers, and there's no way for him to win it. I've said it repeatedly this year. If LeBron turns around and wins a championship this year, I think it might be the most incredible moment of his career. Because the passing of Kobe and what that meant to the city and the team and the organization and the locker room could pull anybody apart. And somehow LeBron's kept everybody together. Somehow, some way, LeBron has managed to bring people together. If he can win a championship with all of that extra added drama, with all that extra added pressure, with all that extra added real life stuff that has nothing to do with the court, but everything to do with life off the court, that's an incredible achievement. But even through all of that, he can't get the level of recognition he deserves. In the meantime, if Kawhi doesn't win a championship with the Clippers, so what? If he does, great. He wins a championship for the Clippers. It's a blip on the radar. But if he doesn't, it's just another in a long list of close but no cigar moments for the Clippers. Does it really delay them from getting their own stadium? Even if he does, is that the real moment that will make everybody pay attention? The answer is no. And in fact, if Kawhi goes out and balls out and they don't win, we're going to look at players like Paul George and say, is Paul George enough? We're going to look at players like Patrick Beverley and say, did you do enough? Whereas the opposite, in a year where we've had so little from Kyle Kuzma, a player I believe so much in, and we've seen so little consistency from him, Will he bear the brunt of the blame? No. LeBron will. When you look at pressure, you can't look at it in a vacuum. You can't look at one guy. You can't look at two guys. You have to look at the entire situation. And the entire situation of playing for the Clippers as Kawhi, when you're quiet and you just won a championship for Toronto, which has everybody in love with you, and you walked away from a country and you still managed somehow to stay on the good side of everybody, that reminds you there's no pressure on Kawhi. Conversely, you're talking about somebody that already made a decision that the basketball world decided made him a villain. And as a result of that one decision and everything that's played forward since then, we've decided never to look at LeBron for his accomplishments, but always to look at LeBron for why his accomplishments aren't enough. The only way you break through that is to continue to win and win championships. Anything short of that, and the negative narrative only continues to rise. That is pressure. Pressure is not just about what's expected of you. It's about what's expected of you if you get it done or if you don't get it done. And LeBron, somehow, some way with the Lakers, is actually in a lose-lose situation. That's my take. Now, let's check out First Take, your take.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. As you've heard in the updates, we have breaking news today. The Ivy League has announced it's canceling its men's and women's conference basketball tournaments. That means Yale on the men's side and Princeton on the women's side will get the automatic NCAA bids. That also means that, frankly, for everybody else that played in the Ivy League, the seniors especially, that their opportunity to play one more time is gone. This on the heels of Santa Clara County in California also announcing today that it is no longer going to allow gatherings of more than 1,000 people within the county for the rest of the month. That will directly impact the NCAA women's basketball tournament. It will also directly impact San Jose Shark home games throughout the course of the month. And we'll see what else comes next as we continue to get breaking news on the coronavirus and how it impacts the sports worlds specifically. So we'll get you updated as we get more information on that and as we continue to see more information on what exactly is being affected. The other news that we've had throughout the course of the day is that the NFL has pushed the franchise deadline back for allowing a franchise tag to be declared. It was supposed to be Thursday, but in light of the fact that the players will now be voting on the new collective bargaining agreement Saturday night, they pushed that deadline back to Monday at noon. So that leaves us more days of speculation about what it means for Dak and what it means for Brady and what it means for the entire NFL. Also, Amari Cooper, just sort of not being even discussed as the transition tag as it currently sits, could be in play for Amari Cooper should they not get a deal sorted out before a new collective bargaining agreement. So all of these things start to factor in to how business is being done, which leads us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We got the Straight Talk today from ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, who joined Max and Stephen A. On First Take. They had a lot to get into, but he started with how much pressure is on the Cowboys and Dak to get a deal done.
If the CBA passes on Saturday night, we go back to that point again. If the CBA passes, each team has got one tag, one franchise tag. If the CBA doesn't pass, each team has two tags, a franchise tag and a transition tag. So the Dallas Cowboys, in a way, as much as they want a new deal, maybe they don't want a new deal this year because that would enable them to lock in Dak Prescott with the franchise tag and Amari Cooper with the transition tag. But let's operate under the assumption that the CBA winds up passing. If it passes, one tag. I believe Dak Prescott gets that tag. And I believe the Dallas Cowboys go extra hard at Amari Cooper to get that deal done. When Amari Cooper signs, and I believe he will wind up getting a deal done with the Dallas Cowboys again, that deal, I believe, will be north of $20 million a year. And I believe that Amari Cooper wants to stay in Dallas. He said as much. The Cowboys want to keep him. And while there will be wide receiver needy teams out there, I'm not sure that any one of them is going to be able to offer enough to convince Amari Cooper to leave. Let's take this into consideration, Stephen A. If the Philadelphia Eagles hypothetically wanted Amari Cooper and offered him $20 million, and the Dallas Cowboys offered Amari Cooper $20 million, where is the $20 million worth more? Dallas. No state tax in the state of Texas. So that $20 million is worth a lot more in Dallas. So some team's going to have to outbid the Cowboys by a couple of million more to get Amari Cooper to even want to consider leaving when he's openly said he'd rather be there. So I think Amari Cooper ultimately winds up in Dallas, whether they have the transition tag for him or not. I think Dak Prescott gets franchise tagged. I think they're going to continue to try to get something worked out. I don't think they're any closer right now, despite the fact that the Dallas Cowboys last made an offer to Dak Prescott on March 2nd. And as I said to you, the next artificial deadline on Dak Prescott, in my mind, is the first week of April when they begin their offseason program.
Adam Schefter, you're the ultimate insider. Let me ask you this question. What is the reservation? Based on your information, what is the reservation that Jerry Jones and maybe Stephen Jones actually have when it comes to Dak Prescott? 4 years, never missed a start. Back page news when he missed a practice, for crying out loud. Has completed over 65% of his passes each year in the National Football League. Won a playoff game. Been to the playoffs twice. What exactly is the reservation towards paying this dude at age 24, knowing what he's already done in the National Football League?
Well, you know what I think the reservation is right now? His inability to get a deal done. I don't think they have any questions about his play. I don't think they have any questions about the kind of person and man that he is. They love Dak. They want to keep him. But the Cowboys have a certain idea and number in their mind. And Dak Prescott has got a different idea in his mind. And Dak Prescott, having played to the end of his deal, believes that he should be rewarded for it. So the only difference between these two teams is the fact that they can't find a common ground to agree to a number. The Dallas Cowboys think, I believe, that Dak Prescott, it's an honor to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. With that honor, you get marketing ads. You get advertising dollars that you wouldn't get elsewhere. You get to be Captain America on America's team. That is a great honor. And they believe that that's worth something. Okay? And so that, in their minds, Dak Prescott shouldn't be taking a deal where he's reaching for every penny. Dak Prescott believes, I'm at the end of my contract. I have performed and done everything that you want. I should be paid top, top dollar.
North of $20 million a year for Amari Cooper? Oh, that's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. From Adam Schefter. North of $20 million for a wide receiver that had a catch rate percentage of 66.39. Why is that significant? It's not even in the top 40 in the NFL, according to Next Gen Stats. Not even the top 40. I mean, come on. I got north of $20 million when Michael Thomas caught 80% of the balls that went his way. 80%. And you got a guy catching 66% of them? North of $20 million. I can't make that make sense. And just the general concept of what Adam Schefter just said, that for some reason Dak should take less because he's the Cowboys quarterback. Did I miss, like, you want to tell me playing for the Browns has any value? Does playing for the Cleveland Browns have any value at all? No. We all know it doesn't. Have you not seen the number of commercials Baker Mayfield gets? Have you not seen it? We've seen it every single day, all day, every day. Why? Because we are now in a global economy, in a global world, where suddenly globalization of brands means that if you're a quarterback in the NFL that has a great branding team or you have a ton of success, you are going to make marketing money. How much extra money does he make just because he's with the Cowboys? Take your fan hat off and tell me this. How much extra money is he worth to Gatorade if he's suddenly, how much extra money is he worth to Progressive, to Shell, if he's suddenly the Cowboys starting quarterback versus if he's the starting quarterback anywhere else and he's throwing for all the yards in the world and he's still on national television and he's winning Super Bowls? That is such old man logic. I'm sorry. That logic is just outdated. It's not all, by the way, that Adam Schefter had to say. Adam Schefter went on. Not the only quarterback he even talked about, because obviously it's a day of the week, which means there's big news at every turn on Tom Brady. So how likely are we to see Tom Brady playing elsewhere next season? Shefty chimed in on that as well with First Take with Max and Stephen A.
When Peyton Manning was going through this as a free agent, ESPN made a box of all the places that he could look good in a certain uniform. Mm-hmm. And one of the boxes it didn't create was the Denver Broncos. And so I always think it's risky to kind of put out there certain teams. Look, I think we could say this. I expect the Chargers to be interested. I expect the Buccaneers to be interested. I expect the Raiders to have some interest. Maybe the Titans, depending on what happens with Ryan Tannehill. But I always wonder about those other teams on the peripheral sense of things that always just kind of creep in. You just don't know how these situations play out and who at the last moment is going to step up and say, Tom Brady is an upgrade over our quarterback, or we'd rather have Tom Brady than a current guy. And so to me, it's hard to forecast and handicap somebody that's a favorite when I truly believe that Tom Brady doesn't know where he's going to wind up playing in less than a week.
You know, that's maybe the biggest portion of all of that with the Brady conversation. I mean, does he know where he wants to go? Because we haven't heard from Tom. And I keep saying, for anyone that says that Tom Brady doesn't love this attention, as Charlie Weiss said yesterday on Golic and Wingo, that he just wants this all to be over. Well, he could speak. He could speak and he hasn't spoken. So what does that mean? We're sitting here saying, what does it mean that the Cowboys haven't already offered Dak a contract? It has to have tremendous meaning. Well, what does it mean that we've heard nothing from Tom Brady? What does it mean that the only thing we really heard all year from Tom Brady was all of us getting trolled for a Hulu ad that was run during the Super Bowl? Like the one time that we all thought we were going to hear from Brady, he laughed at everybody and said, ah, you thought I was going to tell you something. I'm selling you something instead. That has to mean something. I mean, we presume that he knows where he's going to go because he's had all year to make these sorts of decisions. We presume, even in a tampering era, he hasn't talked to any teams. But that doesn't mean he hasn't talked to his agent about teams. That doesn't mean that he and Giselle haven't sat down and actually had these real conversations. I mean, you think that they haven't sat down and talked about Nashville and the Titans? Are the Titans a real threat to get Brady? I mean, if so, you want to think that he hasn't talked to Giselle about Nashville? Talked to Giselle about Vegas? Talked to Giselle about L.A.? You don't think that that's not all happening? Yes, he may not have his mind made up, but we've heard nothing from him. And by hearing nothing from him, he hasn't let us into his process at all. And that's fine. He has no obligation to let us into his process. But we speak for Tom Brady because he hasn't spoken for himself. By the way, speaking of speaking for yourself, I'll speak for myself for a second. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast. We get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Go get today's. I'm biased, I know, but today's particularly good. Also, we break down where North Carolina went wrong in the college basketball season. I ask a tough question to one of our experts on how much blame lies at the feet of Roy Williams. Go check it out. Proud of today's version of the Daily. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. It's short, it's sweet, and it gets everything done. How much pressure is on the Cowboys and Dak to get something done? We'll take your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Greer in North Carolina, what's your take on Dak and the Cowboys?
Yes, sir. I got 2 points. One, Dak should go ahead and take the money. You know what I'm saying? $33 million, $34 million a year, plus him being the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to automatically get benefit. Two, let him build a defense around the rest of that money. That's what's been really missing in Dallas is the defense. Jerry Jones, and with the new head coach coming in, he's not only is he offensive minded, but he's defensive minded as well. And I think he's going to want a defense surrounded by the offense that he already got.
Well, thanks for the call, and I appreciate the insight. Look, part of it, I'm going to go back to money. And KP says on Twitter, Baker Mayfield's the exception. If I'm not mistaken, Baker has the one campaign. He has more than one. And it says Dak has multiple national campaigns. How can you not get that? Location, location, location still matters in the global economy. I'll tell you this. I know agents of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and they'll tell you not every quarterback's interested in the same types of commercials. Some quarterbacks, in fact, some that are Super Bowl MVPs, are not interested in any commercials at all. So part of this is we're assigning this assumption that Dak wants the same thing that everybody else wants. We're also assigning the assumption that Dak wants it and can't get it because of where he's located. I don't think that's the case. I absolutely. in today's world, how much extra exposure comes from being with the Cowboys, knowing that there's a limit to how many national TV games you can get in the NFL cycle, right? There's a limit to how many of those can go to the national audience. So now all of a sudden you're looking at it. Aaron Rodgers is not in a hotbed with Green Bay. Has that stopped Green Bay from getting whatever opportunities Aaron Rodgers personally wants? Because Aaron Rodgers wants to be marketed. However, there are quarterbacks that don't. And those quarterbacks that don't may look at opportunity and say, yes, I want it. No, I don't want it. No different than there are people that work at ESPN that want to do a ton of outside things and the people that work at ESPN that simply don't. Just because you think that suddenly somebody wants opportunity doesn't mean it's true across the board. Have we ever heard Dak not getting an opportunity that he wanted because of where he went? No, it just hasn't happened. I mean, again, I'll go to Aaron Rodgers as a great example. If location matters, then why don't we see more commercials for Jared Goff than we see for anybody else? I'll wait. Right? Oh, Phillip Rivers. He's in L.A., was in L.A. last year. Did Phillip Rivers suddenly take all of that? No. I mean, we pick and choose where location matters. That's all I'm saying. Jerry in Cincy. All right, talk to me. But what's your take about Dak and the Cowboys?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I don't understand why he's not signing this. $100 million, I mean, that's going to take care of your kids as kids for the rest of your life. I mean, is he being greedy? Come on.
Well, but here's the thing. All right, wealth is also in the eye of the beholder. How many of you guys out there right now, let's just use this magic number. You're making $60,000 a year. You're making $60,000 a year. How many people right now that are driving around are making half that and would kill for the opportunity to make $60,000, would give anything for the opportunity to not have to work two jobs to feed their family? How many people right now driving around are in that situation? And they're looking at you saying, but you make $60,000 a year. What are you complaining about? So that's the variable that's everywhere. At some point, your worth is your worth. So if you're making $100,000 a year and the person sitting next to you, the desk next to you, is making $105,000, and you're looking at it and saying, well, why? Why? Why do we get to suddenly decide where that line is, all right? Value is what value is. Your contract is whatever you're worth. Dak Prescott can get the money from somebody, so his value is what his value is. And just because we look at $100 million and saying $33 million a year, saying take it, why be greedy? I would argue you always have to look down at demographics and economics and ask yourself if you're holding the same standard to everybody all the way across the board. We know that we're not. That's just not the way it works. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. There's some progressive thinking right now going on about Tua Tagovailoa, who was medically cleared after his hip injury, medically cleared to return to football activity. What does that mean for the second overall pick? The Redskins have it, but they just drafted a quarterback. What's all this mean? ESPN football analyst Emmanuel Acho joined Max and Stephen A. to debate what should happen with the second overall pick.
I think Tua is big time. I think durability has been a question mark and what have you. And I think that the Washington Redskins are so inundated with problems. Mm-hmm. You've got to go with the sure thing. You simply cannot have a question mark. Chase Young is the closest. He's a sure thing. The Washington Redskins are taking them number two. All of this is smoke and mirrors from what I've been told. They're not taking a quarterback. Daniel Snyder ain't going to let them take a quarterback. He believes in Haskins. Ron Rivera believes in him. He's going to go that route. They're going to take Chase Young. That's what they're going to do. Now, I met Chase Young. I was at the Lakers-Boston game. He was chilling with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg. So I was over there, wrapped him for a few minutes. Massive kid. Incredible physique, all right? You know he gets after the passer. What do they keep telling us are the two most important things in football these days? They say the quarterback and an edge rusher to get at the quarterback. Yep. Who's that dude that gets at the quarterback? I think that would be him. Now, we look at the Redskins. I understand their offense was just horrid. They gave up 6,162 yards. They gave up 435 points. All right? So we know what they need defensively. Offensively, they were the worst offense in football. Okay? Ranked dead last in offense, ranked dead last in their passing attack. Mm-hmm. The problem is, Tua is a question mark because of, I don't give a damn what kind of medical clearance he got. When you get hit, come talk to me, all right? Because this ain't college, all right? So I'm worried about him in that regard. His health combined with Haskins, I'm like, yo, I need a sure thing. I don't have it. I'm going with the defensive player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the Redskins, they take Chase Young, and you take Chase Young because to not take Chase Young, the addition of Tua is a subtraction of Chase Young and Dwayne Haskins. And you say, Max, no disrespect to Dwayne Haskins, but saying that he could only be a top 16, top 20 quarterback, that is disrespect. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, he succeeded at the end of the season in spite of doubts from the coaching staff, in spite of doubts from the head coach. Chase Young, beast. We already know that. That's a sure thing. But it's not so much about Chase Young for me as it is about Dwayne Haskins. 50 touchdowns his senior year in college. You want a comprehensive list of all Big Ten quarterbacks? There's no one else that's ever done it. Mm-hmm. So Dwayne Haskins was a bad man in college. I think he will continue to be a bad man in the NFL with a coach in Ron Rivera who has proven he can develop quarterbacks, i.e. and a la Cam Newton.
He didn't pick Haskins, though.
He didn't pick him, but he picked the Washington Redskins, who already had Haskins, so he knew
likely a high draft choice. I was very high on Haskins coming out for the reasons you outlined, and he got better and better as that Ohio State season, by the way, went on.
For sure.
His learning curve was steep. It's not, you can take it as disrespect, or he can. What I have seen so far, there are some guys, you watch them play early, and there have been quarterbacks I'm like, nah, and later on it turned out to be wrong. He doesn't, like, Daniel Jones, who the Giants chose, and I was very down on that choice instead of Haskins. I watched him, you watch him play even in the preseason a couple times, you go, okay, your eye immediately sees something. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, it was like that in the preseason a couple, you know, when he, as a rookie. I have not seen that from Haskins in the NFL.
That's fair.
But because I believe in him from college, I'm saying I think he can get to be a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. Tua, I think, can be an elite quarterback in the NFL. And I think it could happen in the first couple of seasons.
What I know is that the Redskins know what they're doing here. There's no way Rivera took this job without having a conversation from the get-go about the future of the quarterback position for the Redskins. So everything is poker from here on out. Coming up, we're going to take more of your take as we continue to break down First Take from today. Plus, is Boston the biggest threat to Milwaukee in the East? Hear what Stephen A. had to. You know Stephen A.'s big on Miami. Hear what he had to say about it next. But first, you want a more beautiful lawn this season, don't you? Who doesn't? The Home Depot has a few suggestions, and they all come in just one bag. It's Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action. Starts at just $26.68. Feed your lawn, weed your lawn, and it prevents fire ants for up to 6 months. That's three of the most common lawn problems, all handled with one great solution. It's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/outdoors for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Who could get something done in the East other than Milwaukee? You'll hear what they thought on First Take next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. As you just heard right there on SportsCenter, the breaking news today. A couple of pieces you need to know. One, the NFL has moved the franchise tag deadline. They moved it from Thursday, as it was expected, 2 days from now. They've moved it to Monday at noon. That's significant for contract negotiations, and all of that's coming because the players have till Saturday now at midnight to vote on the new collective bargaining agreement. The other piece of breaking news, the Ivy League is canceling its men's and women's college basketball tournaments due to coronavirus concerns. Yale on the men's side, Princeton on the women's side will now get automatic NCAA bids from the conference. On top of that, Santa Clara County in California has outlawed any gathering of more than 1,000 people for the duration of the month. That will affect the NCAA Women's Tournament. It will also affect the San Jose Sharks. It's another domino falling in the coronavirus effect, specifically geared towards sports and the impact it can have. So we'll keep you updated as we continue to find out more. Also remember, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Soccer, they've all come together to let us know that they're going to be closing their locker rooms to non-essential personnel. Speaking of the NBA, it's on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Luka and the Mavs visit the Spurs, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. A lot of conversation going on today about the Milwaukee Bucks, who they've lost three straight now. That's the longest current losing streak that they've had under coach Mike Budenholzer. So, again, I should point out they played basically no one. I'm pretty sure the water boy got in yesterday and they're lost. I'm pretty sure. But load management took a new step yesterday as it was basically team load management. But it does raise a question of the biggest threat. Boston also in a bit of a slump right now. So who now, as we see these slumps go, is the biggest threat to Milwaukee in the East? ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to debate it.
When I look at Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown, these brothers can play. I got mad love for them. But a lot of times you see it's not just about ball movement. It's about breakdown ability and what have you. When you got those trees waiting for you in the interior in Milwaukee, okay, you're going to, in most instances, be forced to shoot perimeter shots. And when you do it off the dribble, it's entirely different than ball movement taking place and guys just launching. And I think that Miami's penchant to do that a little bit better than Boston in that regard. Boston has better breakdown ability with players with Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and those guys. Miami's just launching, right? I also take into account leadership. I think Jimmy Butler being there, his infusion in that locker room, the way he's able to lead them and hold them accountable, combined with Spoelstra, combined with Pat Riley, I think goes a longer way than Boston. I think Boston is a team, even though I have profound respect for Brad Stevens, and I think he's a damn good coach, I think Boston ultimately is a team that leans itself and almost completely relies on its talent. I think when we talk about the Miami Heat, we talk about the winner within, from Pat Riley to the coach that is Eric Spoelstra, down to the talent and adding somebody like Jimmy Butler in a locker room filled with dudes that have absolutely no conscience whatsoever, that are willing to run the floor, be athletic in the open court, all right, along with launching from three-point range. I think, and not only that, they do it not necessarily pushing the ball up the floor that much. I personally believe that Miami is better suited to take out Milwaukee than Boston. Not to say that they will, because I don't pick any of them to beat Milwaukee right now, but I think Miami has the better shot.
I actually think Boston is the answer. When you include health and everything, I think the Sixers, man, if they could just get healthy, it's a bad matchup for the Bucks. I think Boston is the answer. And you mentioned, look, the Heat are a great choice. Mm-hmm. Bam's defense you saw on the Freak was great. And then you have not just Duncan Robinson launching threes. You have three different players who can go get their own shot when you need them to at a pretty good level. Jimmy Butler, Kendrick Nunn, and Dragic. Like, you got multiple. So I get that. But so do the Celtics. The Celtics have guys and who can do it on a higher level. And I'm not even talking about Kemba Walker. I'm talking about three wings who can do it on a real good level, and Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward. But most of all, it's that Tatum is going to be the best player on the floor. Like, Tatum is going to be, often nights, no matter who else is on the floor, Tatum has the upside to be the best offensive player on the floor. And usually in playoffs, there's, like, it's the reason I don't like the Raptors. The Raptors are still beat. They just went to Utah and won a game last night. Like, the Raptors
Utah been losing everybody lately, but go ahead.
Yeah, but okay, fine.
They finished 4-1 on their West Coast trip.
That's right. And by the way, and then Utah travels east, and then they have to go back west. They have a night off, but I get it. But the Raptors, if they still had Kawhi, that's my pick. I think they smash everyone. They win the chip. They don't. So that is the difference. As good as Siakam is, Jay, to me, it's in those tight games with the best teams in a conference, give me the guy who in crunch time can be the best player on the team. I think that's Tatum. I think that makes the Celtics, you know, considering Philly's health, that makes the Celtics the team.
Tatum has been struggling the last two games because I think the physicality of the games is different. He's been shooting his lowest percentage. I'm not saying he can't bounce back off that slump. Let me tell you why I don't believe in Boston long term. Boston has no bench.
Yeah,
if you watched that game the other night against Utah, all their starters were plus. All their non-starters were minus. In bench points, they rank 29th in the league. 29th. They're bringing Tremont Waters up from the G League to try to stir up their offense. That's a major inhibitor for them. I can't believe I'm about to do this.
What?
National team. I'm about to agree with Stephen A. Damn Smith on the Miami Heat. You know, their style is different. Now, granted, they have injuries, but if they were to get Tyler Hero back into the rotation with a Jimmy Butler, with a Bam Adebayo, that small lineup will create matchup nightmares for Milwaukee. Not only because of personnel and their ability to shoot threes, also, guys, they can play some zone. And you saw them play zone at the beginning of the year against the Bucks. Sometimes the Bucks don't look like they know what they're doing. And the Sixers. I think Eric Spoelstra has a notch up coaching-wise on their style.
Yep.
I would say that I think the Bucks are the best matchup. And I would say the only thing that stops me from saying the Raptors, I think Pascal Siakam has taken that next step to being an all-star starter. I just don't know if I'm ready to put him in the same category as Kawhi Leonard, as a guy that's a closer in the playoffs. But I do love watching Toronto play.
Wait, is Philly not in the conversation just because they're not healthy and we're assuming there won't be health? Or even if they were healthy, you don't believe in Philly?
What the hell makes me believe believe in the Philadelphia
76ers. I'll tell you. Oftentimes they'll have
talent, but I just don't believe in leadership. I don't believe in the way. I don't see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid on the same page. Yeah, fine if they come back, but like, have they ever been on the same page?
But Jay, okay, like, that's right. Know. That's right.
That's a big question.
At the Sloan Institute, the analytics conference Friday, I was on the panel with Michael Rubin, part owner for the 76ers. Mm-hmm. And without getting into the Sixers, he did state publicly that the relationship between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid is vastly, you know, is vastly exaggerated.
What's interesting to me is any debate that the 76ers can present some sort of a challenge to the Bucks is a debate that presumes the 76ers can get everything together and put it all together and make it right. One thing you'll consistently hear me say on this show is benefit of the doubt. If you will assign benefit of the doubt to one side, you must assign it to everybody else. If your presumption is that a team can compete because they'll get it all together, then without presuming that everybody else will also get it all together, then I don't understand the logic behind it. We'll keep taking your take on First Take, your take. In the meantime, as you just heard, Stephen A. loves the Heat, but did Miami make the cut as one of his top five NBA teams? Plus, LeBron James spoke today on the potential of playing without fans in attendance. You'll hear from the King next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Starting to hear people speak out about what's next with coronavirus. Plus, Stephen A's got our top five. That's all coming up. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. If you missed the second hour of today's show, go check it out on demand. We're doing something new with First Take, Your Take podcast. We're starting it with My Take. So First Take, Your Take then leads to My Take, and you can hear a little bit of what I thought on some of the biggest issues of the day. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. It's brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A. member FDIC. So, again, the Ivy League has canceled men's and women's conference basketball tournaments today. We are hearing more as the state of California and Santa Clara County, I should say, as they banned any meeting of more than 1,000 people, public or private, which will affect that we know of so far the San Jose Sharks, the NHL team there, and also could affect the NCAA women's basketball tournament. So there's also been reports that the NBA are looking at options which could include playing games without fans in attendance. LeBron James spoke out at pregame shootaround about the possibility of playing without fans in the arena.
When I was asked the question of would you play without no fans, I had no idea that it was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about the particular virus. Obviously, I would be very disappointed, you know, not having the fans, because that's what I play for. I play for my family. I play for my fans. They're saying no one could actually come to the game if they decide to go to that point. So I'd be disappointed in that. But at the same time, you gotta listen to, the people that's keeping a track on what's going on. And if they feel like it's best for, the safety of the players, the safety of the franchise, safety of the league, to mandate that, then we all listen to it.
I mean, at this point, it might also be the best for the safety of the attendees. Again, I'll go to South by Southwest, a massive festival that canceled this year, not because of just the people in attendance as far as panels, but also largely because of what it means for everybody that goes from a fan standpoint. So the league's got a lot of research to do, sports in general do. In the meantime, Stephen A., you know when he gives us a list, it's going to be a good one. Stephen A. was asked to give us a list, top five NBA teams. He keeps talking about them. Dang, Miami Heat. Did they make the cut? Check it out.
Let's go to number five on the list. Give it to me, the Nuggets. Why? Did you see them last night against those Milwaukee Bucks, even though it was without Giannis Antetokounmpo? Did you see Jamal Murray in that dunk? Did you see the Joker? Do you see Barton and the rest of this crew? Oh, by the way, the Denver Nuggets quietly have been a top three team in the Western Conference all season long. They still got that altitude in the Mile High City. Chances are you're going to have to go through them unless you're the Lakers or the Clippers in L.A. Denver will have home court advantage against everybody else. Look out for the Denver Nuggets. It is time we pay more attention to them and give them their respect. Let's go to number four on the list. Give it to me. The reigning defense. defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Why, Max, even without Kawhi Leonard, these brothers are still over 20 games, over 500, over 25 games, over 500. Pascal Siakam is an all-star. Kyle Lowry's leadership. Van Vliet can still play along with Ibaka and the rest of the crew. This is a team that hasn't faded, hasn't fallen off the wagon. It's about five consecutive seasons and counting that Masai Ujiri's team has won 50 games plus, because you know that's what they're going to do this year as well. Don't ignore the Toronto Raptors. They're definitely a top five team in the NBA. Let's go to number three, and let's give it to me right here. The Clippers. Why? Because of Kawhi Leonard. That's why. Because of Paul George. That's why. Because of Doc Rivers. That's why. Because, as they've told me on numerous occasions, we got five dogs on our squad. And I don't mean dog in a negative capacity. I'm talking about the positive capacity. They got Rough Riders. They're going for the championship. They're going for it all. They know they deserve to be the favorites, and here they come. They are definitely a top three team. They ain't top two, though. Give it to me. The Milwaukee Bucks. Why? Because they got the reigning league MVP. That's why. They got a great coach in Mike Budenholzer. That's why. They got trees on their front line that prevents anything in the interior. They are a top two defensive team in the National Basketball Association. You got to score to win games, which is why you don't do too much winning against the Milwaukee Bucks this year. Let's go to number one on the list. Max, you know where I'm going. Molly, you know where I'm going. The Lake Show. Why? Because LeBron James, 35 years old, 17th season, still playing like a league MVP. Anthony Davis, top five dude on the planet. Oh, by the way, not only did they ball by beating Milwaukee and the Clippers over the weekend, both of them, by the way, but other guys have been showing up. Plus, they just acquired Markieff Morris, Dion Waiters. They are the team to watch out for. The Lakers are the number one team in basketball right now.
I would love to disagree with this list. When you had the Nuggets five, I didn't think you were going to have the Raptors there. That is literally my exact order as of this moment.
Wow.
Because the Lakers coming
off. I'm proud of you.
Weekend.
You're learning.
So to recap, we got the Nuggets at five, the Raptors at four, the Clippers at three, the Bucks at two, the Lakers at one. Derek on Twitter earlier in our conversation about who could be the biggest threat reminds us the Raptors are still the team that will take out the Bucks. Max and Stephen A. don't think Siakam is clutch. Have they watched him the last couple of games? And maybe he's not the top-end scorer that he will turn into. The team knows what it takes to win. I would also argue that the team is incredibly well-coached. That's a big part of this. And coaching is going to come down to a massive difference. But I'll also look at this top five list and say, hey, it's a reminder of how set the NBA season really is. Like, we don't want the NBA season to be set in stone. I keep saying we're making things complicated where they're not complicated because we want to find drama in the playoffs. But look at that top five list and tell me honestly, do you genuinely believe that the Nuggets at number five are a real contender for the NBA championship? Do any of you believe that? And as much as even Nuggets fans are going to say, yes, I'll ask it a different way. If you had to bet your house on the Nuggets or any of the rest of that top five, who you taking? It wasn't supposed to be this way. It was supposed to be some level. There was supposed to be some level of what do these duo means? We've been so desperate for it. We tried to make small ball a thing. And now the Raptors aren't, or the Rockets aren't on that list. No. And we're not even talking about the Raptors. The second best team in the East, according to Stephen A's top five list, not even talking about it. The most alarming part about this list is it was supposed to be different this year. And maybe it is. Maybe by having three teams instead of one team, we think have it all locked up. Maybe that's enough to make it different. But the Lakers, the Bucks and the Clippers are clearly better than the rest of these teams. The Raptors and the Nuggets might be competitive, but if you had to bet at all, are you taking either of them? I think we all know the answer to that. I also know the answer to what you need to do from now on. You need to check out the First Take, Your Take podcast. Why? We're adding a new element to it. Started yesterday. Check it out if you missed it. My Take. My Take is also added there. We start each hour with a little bit of My Take so you can get some flavor of what I thought. In the meantime, coming up next, the Will Cain Show. Where does Kyrie Irving rank on the list of people you wouldn't want to play with? Get Will's Take. This has been First Take, Your Take. Thanks.